If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliecare@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. You guys, Josh Gondelman returns to the show to help me take on your New Year's cleaning resolutions. Hey, Josh, welcome back.
Hi, Jolie. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back so soon.
Oh, my pleasure. It was so much fun last time.
We got a lot of very positive feedback from the New England set.
Oh, perfect.
About your first appearance
that's
on the show.
That's my demographic.
Mine, too.
I'm always trying to delight the townies. That's like a real thing I think about a lot.
Yeah, that's basically my whole goal in life. And you guys, we should tell you to delight the townies that Josh has arrived in the studio not only with his signature Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee on this very cold day.
It's so cold.
Which like that's dedication right there to the cause. I appreciate
it.
Thank you. He's also got a socks cap on.
Oh, yeah.
So
because my head is cold.
Yeah.
I'm very bald. And I need a hat most of the time, even indoors. It's terrible, and I deserve your sympathy.
I do have sympathy, actually,
because
I'm so hair obsessed.
Sure.
So like, well, actually, when I went blonde a few months ago, I spent the first like maybe 6 or 8 weeks of the blonde terrified that I was going to just wake up one morning, all of my hair was going to have fallen out like on my pillow in a full wig.
Yep, I'll tell you. If my life is any indication, that happens. And it's not great, but there are worse things. I mean, for a guy, for women, I think it's probably a little worse.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably.
There are bald role models that I can look up to.
That's right.
Yeah.
My mind immediately went to Telly Savalas, which I'm like,
sure.
I just am dating myself by
that's nope, Telly Savalas,
that is literally classic, the first place that my
classic
mind went.
Baldster. Manu Ginobili is like the professional athlete who I always look at as somebody who publicly went bald, like instead of, you know, Michael Jordan, as soon as it started to go to recede, he just started shaving it.
Yeah.
And that looked, that was a good look.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the way to go, right?
Yeah. I feel like if you're athletic,
yeah,
if you're not, which I'm not, it's not a great. It's not great, I don't think.
Really?
And then LeBron James did some kind of magic to his hairline where it was getting worse, and then all of a sudden he staunched the tide.
Oh, he must have gotten like Rogaine or something.
Yeah, I think those things work.
Yeah.
But he was too young when I started.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is a sad story.
That'll happen.
Yeah. This is like a New England tragedy on par with Ethan Frome. I was actually thinking yesterday, I was like, oh, Ethan Frome, the story of a guy who died in a sledding accident to avoid the rest of a New England winter.
I mean, at this stage in the game, I'm kind of thinking about staging a tragic sledding
accident. Yeah, me too.
This is brutal.
I feel like in
And it's still only December.
Yeah,
you guys are recording this in
so
December.
Much,
it's
there's
so
much
cold.
Winter left.
There's so much winter left. March is the month that slays me. I cannot.
Yeah. It feels like it should be better and then it isn't.
Yeah. I just, oh, God. March can get out of town,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. You guys, we have a lot to cover today that doesn't have to do with us bitching about the weather.
No,
although we can always
like,
bitch about the weather.
When people say talking about the weather is boring, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's nature that can kill us any day.
It's fascinating.
The weather is
I love a weather event, too. Yeah. The weather is fascinating. You guys, so we have some special stuff that we're going to do today on this episode. First of all, we're going to be taking on listener New Year's cleaning resolutions. I'm going to offer some thoughts and guidance and help for all of the cleaning resolutions you guys have made and shared with me. We also are going to be doing some more of Josh's signature pep talks. And we're trying a new little thing out today. We actually set up a Google Voice number and we had people call in with their pep talk requests. So we've got a few of those that Josh is going to take on, and we're really excited about that. Before we get into it, though, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the Podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have some new patrons to thank this week. You guys, all of these were $5, which is like sort of a second tier. And so I want to just say like an extra thank you for your generosity and supporting my show. It really does make a big difference to my bottom line. And also it makes me feel really good and loved. So thank you to Rachel Smith, Lindsay Cook, Noel Purcell, and a very, very, very special thank you to Taylor Heil, who pledged $4.20. And as we are now saying on this show, all right, all right, all right.
Mm-hmm. That's the McConaughey level of giving.
Exactly. You guys, also, before we get into the show, so as I mentioned to Josh already, the Boston New England set really, really loved his first appearance. They are all in on Esta and her lobsterman husband up in Maine. Celebrating the Hanukkah, and so I got like a lot of feedback about how much people loved hearing us sort of like get into our Boston thing and do our accents, and I feel like Esther is going to be a character who persists on the show. I hope she is.
I hope so too.
I have built like a whole mythology around Esther and her husband. I like that the husband has no name.
I was thinking about that because the husband doesn't have a name, but he's always the one that's yelling.
Exactly.
So like Esther is just always being ordered to do stuff. Like for those of you who haven't listened, and it was a lot of like Esta get the lobster pot
to boil the menorah.
To boil the menorah, right?
To Esta get the hair
right. They're Jewish lobster folk on the in coastal Maine.
You know, because there are so many of those.
So many Jews
in coastal Maine.
In coastal Maine.
But that also leads us to an important update that we have to give.
I'm very excited to hear this. I'm on pins and needles.
We in crafting the sort of visual imagery of the lobsterman, Josh said that he is clearly wearing a slicker and then asked, is slicker a regional term? So slicker is another term for raincoat or your foul weather gear. And I was like, I'm not sure. And we kind of Googled it when we were on, but like I didn't have a chance to do a deep dive. So I did a deep dive.
Okay.
And here is the answer. The answer is no, it is not a regional term.
Interesting.
According to the online etymology dictionary, and I cross-referenced this with dictionary.com and mw.com, so I'm making sure that I did all my fact-checking and got my good sources and all that. Slicker, the origin of the word is from 1851. That is the use of slicker as a tool for smoothing leather from the verb slick. The meaning waterproof raincoat, which is how we use it, is from 1884, and the use of slicker in the sense of clever and crafty person is from 1900.
Okay.
Our slicker is 1884, and what it comes from is the fact that the raincoats were originally made of oilcloth, and so they were slick.
Got it.
So you wore your slicker.
Where is that from, though?
I think it's just English.
Oh, got it.
But it's not a regional term.
Okay.
It's a
widely used.
Yeah, common use term. So there are updates. Before we start in with the resolutions, we've got a request for a pep talk. We have a caller who called in. And did we lose Tim? There's Tim. Tim, our engineer, is queuing up the calls for us. You guys, this is a first for us, so bear with us as we kind of figure out what we're doing over here. But we're very excited about it.
Okay. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in finding a word that you can concentrate on during the year that might be motivating. My problem is motivation. I have big plans in my head. I can't seem to get them from my head to reality. And I feel very stuck. So I would like to hear what Josh would say. And my name is Clem. Okay, thanks.
This is a two-part.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead. Sorry, I was just going to say this is a two-part call, though. We listened before, and the second part, I think, is also important.
Oh, and I forgot to say Happy New Year to you all. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Happy New Year, Clem. Thank
Happy
you for calling.
Year.
That's a tough predicament. I don't want to get too advicey with these. I just want to give encouragement. And I think you can do it as the easiest form of encouragement. But also, to be a little advicey, like, big plans, I find big plans so hard to execute, right? If I'm like, I'm going to write a screenplay or I'm going to travel the world, I always find like the doing anything helps. Like, and not anything in the world, right? If I'm like, I'm going to write a screenplay and I'm like, well, to start, I'm going to nap. That's like not what I mean. But like any step in the right direction is like a positive development. So like if I'm like, I should... First of all, I'm working on a book. So instead of being like, I'm writing a whole book, it's like, okay, I'm going to write this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of being like, I'm going to write this chapter, like, okay, here are the idea. I'm going to outline this chapter mm-hmm. first. And then instead of I'm going to outline this chapter, it's like, I'm going to open the Word document. And like opening the Word document counts. Do you know what I mean? It's not most of it, but it's like, if you don't open the Word document, you're never going to get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say a word to motivate you might be like increments or like.
Oh, I love that,
yeah,
Josh.
Thank you. It's because that to me is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I even find like any goal that I can't be like, oh, here's how long it will take me to finish it, and I can just do it. I find that like so daunting that I have to break everything down into little pieces.
I think that's great.
So manageable goals mm-hmm. is like such a huge thing for me. And maybe it is for you too, Clem.
I love that. And actually, I think that manageable goals is going to dovetail with a lot of the advice that I'm going to give today about people's New Year's cleaning resolutions.
Yeah.
And to that end, we have our first one. So you guys, the first two are for my patrons. I'm giving them sort of the first two spots mm-hmm. because they're my patrons. So I'm going to have Josh read the first resolution from Mary Gray. Now, most of these came from Twitter, so they're kind of in Twitter speak. But the first one is from Mary Gray.
From Mary Gray. Washing my goddamn walls. It was all in caps. That was the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Mary Gray, I think that is a great New Year's resolution. I like that it's very, very specific. You can bang it out in January and be like, check, 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 I got this thing done. I know that I've talked a lot about wall washing on this show before, but just to give you guys like the basics of it, what you want to do is you either want to use a mop that you, like, instead of doing it on the floor, you just go vertically.
Okay.
The trick with using the mop to clean the walls, however, is that you want to make sure you wring it out very well, because otherwise you're going to be like dripping all over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use rags. I really like either old washcloths or old dish towels for this purpose. Basically, what you want to do is like make a sudsy solution. Dish soap is great. Diluted all-purpose cleaner or something like that is great too. Just make sure you test it on an inconspicuous spot in the walls to make sure that's not going to cause any damage to the paint or finish or wallpaper or whatever it is. And that's really all there is to it. There's one other technique that works really well where you take a broom and you rubber band a rag over the rushes and dip that in the solution and then sort of swab the walls that way. Here's the thing about this. The actual way that you do this is incredibly simple and straightforward. It is a hard, sloggy job. Like, you will sweat. You will be very, very achy the next day. It will take longer than you think it will or should. So just like prepare yourself for the fact that this is a physically taxing and uncomfortable job, but it's also very, very satisfying. And Mary Gray, you totally got this.
I like putting a towel over a broom when rubber banding it, because that makes me think of like how a giant would clean his ears in a Pixar movie.
That's exactly right. That is exactly what, or like scrub their back.
Yeah. That's like, that's like how Shrek would bathe, which is not Pixar.
Yeah.
Right, DreamWorks. Okay,
here's another one from Siobhan.
Siobhan. Oh, definitely. I'm resolving to deep clean one room of my house each month next year, in addition to regular dusting and cleaning. I only really have 10 rooms, so that Siobhan doesn't live in New York.
I have 3.
Right.
And that's being like generous.
Yeah, that's like
that's including the bathroom.
Which if a real estate agent counted the bathroom as a room in a house, you'd be like, "You're fired, you creep." That's not a room. Nobody can sleep in it. I can't eat in it. Well, I mean, I can, but it's sad. I only have 10 rooms, so I figure every room getting a deep cleaning every 10 months isn't too bad, right?
I think it's great. I love this idea. So I have a tip for you to keep you on your merry way. First of all, I think deep cleaning one room a month is like so smart. So smart. Because really, you don't need to be deep cleaning every room all that often. But if you do one a month, then you never have to do that like kind of spring cleaning thing where all of a sudden you've got the list of 60 items. This year when we did our spring cleaning stuff, I pulled out like the spring cleaning checklist that places like Martha Stewart and Good Housekeeping publish, and they're outrageous. Like, I was having a panic attack just reading them.
But Martha Stewart's, I bet, has a lot of stuff that you don't need to do, or it's like sponge bathe the horses.
Naturally.
You know, well, I don't have to do that. That doesn't apply to my life. My horses self-clean.
Exactly. So here is my tip for you. Put a calendar entry on the first of every month that says deep clean bathroom, deep clean kitchen, deep clean living room, whatever the other 10 rooms in your house are.
Even Clue doesn't have 10 rooms, right? And that's like the fanciest house ever. And they have a library and like an observatory and a solarium and a vomitorium. Like, I can't even think.
Siobhan, we want to know what your 10 rooms are. We're fascinated. Can you send us a video tour of your house?
Please.
Can we move in? I'll deep clean for you if I can move in.
Yeah.
So
but you'll never see me because your house is so big.
Put a calendar reminder on, and then that way you just are keeping yourself accountable. You guys are going to hear me say calendar reminder a lot in this episode, but I really believe in the power of the calendar reminder because I think it's just like an easy way to be like, oh, right, I have to do that thing instead of relying on yourself to remember, you know, come March when we're all icicles that like, oh, right, this is the month where I'm supposed to be deep cleaning the vomitorium.
Which, that is a hard room to deep clean, I'll tell you that.
Just hose it down.
It's gross, yeah.
Just hose it down.
Yep, hose it.
But I love that, and I hope that more of you think about doing that. To that end, I think I had a lot of requests from people to revive my Year of the Clean Person thing that I used to do on Jezebel, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to incorporate that, because that project was basically what Siobhan is looking for, which was every month you got one thing that you had to deep clean. So it was like one month it was your bathroom, one month it was your bookcase, one month it was like purge all your shoes kind of thing. So I want to incorporate that stuff into the show.
I'm going to do something like that this year too, except every month I'm going to deep fry something.
I love it. I support that
choice.
In
a different room of my house.
No, I don't support that part of it. Keep it in the kitchen, Josh.
Nah, we got to heat things up in the bedroom.
Poor Maris. I'll look forward to getting all the emails from Maris. Jolie, how do I get the smell of fried food out of my sheets?
Excuse me. Getting the smell of fried food into the sheets is like half the point.
I'll be like, oh, Josh is frying again, huh?
Mm-hmm. I want to be a lady in the streets and a crepe in the bed. Crepe in the sheets. Now that sounds gross.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, that's really gross.
There's also like a batter joke to be made there that I'm gonna
very gross.
Just go right past that one.
Also, you don't deep fry a crepe. It just sounded the most like freak. That's why I said it. It's just a rhyming thing.
All right, here we've got a couple more resolutions actually. Here's one from Ara.
cool. I want to make my bed every morning and clean my apartment once every 2 weeks.
Love it. Love, love, love it. I literally, in my show notes, I wrote, make the bed. Yay. I was doing my show notes. I have weird insomnia, and I was up at 4:30 this morning, and I was just like, all right, I'm just up. I'm going to do my show notes now. So I did my show notes from 4:30 to about 5:30 or 6 this morning while watching an old episode of Real Housewives of New York. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to nap from 6 to 8 a.m., and that was a terrible choice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you groggy when you got up?
I was just all out of sorts. Groggy, weird, like, yeah. And also, like, waking up at 8 is too late for me to feel normal. So, anyway. So my notes are a little weird because I was making them at 5 a.m. while watching a classic Real Housewives. Well, you know what I was watching? I was watching the one where Luann finds out that Tom was cheating on her a week after they got engaged, because there's all this like Luann de Lesseps drama going on right now. She's just arrested in Palm Beach.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And the whole story has just been bonkers. Anyway, I could go wildly off topic on this one.
So making your bed.
I'm going to control myself back on making the bed. Ara, I think making the bed is a great resolution. I would suggest to you that you build in a reward for yourself after a solid month of daily bed making. Like maybe you treat yourself to like a new sheet set, or even just some new pillowcases, or maybe a nice silk pillowcase that helps to like make your skin look great and protect your hair and all that stuff. Maybe a little throw blanket for March. So build in a little reward for yourself. But once you've done it for a month, you're basically going to be a committed bed maker.
Yeah. Making your bed is like the flossing of sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get into a routine and then you're just in rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and you'll want to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when you start, you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it feels wrong if you haven't done it.
Yeah.
It feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like you feel like, I'm not as like hygienic as I should have been, or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. Not that it's unhygienic not to make your bed. I don't mean it like that. It's just like a feeling that
no,
you get.
No, right. It's like well, every time you develop, I think, like a nice habit, and then you don't do it, your body like reminds you like, oh, it would feel better if I did this mm-hmm. thing.
That's exactly it.
This
That's
is also, said. Though, like when I was, how old was I? 29? There was like a solid year where I slept on a bed with no sheets.
No.
Yeah.
Josh, no.
Yeah, it was like my late 20s too.
Oh, no.
I did it.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to have you come back. So I do my bed making month in March. Mm-hmm. It's called La Mob. It's like a whole thing. And I'm going to have you come back to kick off La Mob, and you'll tell me the story.
Sure.
Yeah, because that's a good one. And that'll be really fun. Okay, so build in your reward. Now, here's the thing about the cleaning every 2 weeks. So in the second segment, I'm going to go through sort of a very, very basic cleaning schedule, because I got a few New Year's resolutions that were like, I'm going to establish a cleaning schedule. So mm-hmm. I figured I would like outline just like a really easy way to do it. The thing about the every 2 weeks thing is that's another place where I would put it on the calendar. And that it just makes it an appointment. And it serves as a reminder, like set it up even so that you get an email that's like, today is my cleaning day. And then you just are more apt to do it. And then once, honestly, like after 2 or so months, you're not going to need the reminders. It's going to be so automatic for you. The thing I like about the reminders is that like it lets you adjust for how you clean. So some people clean, you know, a few things every other day. Some people take, you know, 2 hours on Sunday. Some people take an hour on Saturday, an hour on Sunday. Your houses are all different sizes.
Siobhan.
You got Siobhan with the mansion over there, you know. So it just allows you to like build in what your needs are for your home and also your style of cleaning. So, all right. I think we have two more before we get into our next pep talk request.
Great.
So Rhiannon was very similar.
Rhiannon, cleaning schedule so I don't feel overwhelmed. Pre-baby nesting ideas / tips.
So I love the idea of the cleaning schedule so you don't get overwhelmed. One thing I want to say is that if you've got a baby on the way, try not to put too much pressure on yourself to stick to that schedule.
I believe that across the board. I meant to say that to Clem, too, as part of the pep talk, was like, if you make plans, like what you get done is good enough mm-hmm. when it's not for, you know, if you're not on deadline. Like, obviously, there are times where you have real problems where it's like, oh, I had to do this for someone. I was accountable to someone else or accountable to myself for, like, a real deadline that had a purpose. But, like, if you say I'm going to deep clean something, or you say I'm going to start writing this thing, or, you know, and you get halfway done and you're like, well, I have to take a break and finish it another time. It's like, well, you're not a failure. You still did a thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to build in room for schedules to change and to not have as much time as you thought you might have. So I just want to say, you know, be really gentle with yourself and
yeah.
don't, you're already going to put so much pressure on yourself as a new mom.
Yeah.
That, you know, I want to make sure you know that you have, like, permission from the clean person
sure.
to, like, take it easy and not be too hard on yourself.
Yeah,
about
even if you just keep
schedule.
That baby clean.
Keep the baby
that's
clean.
That's like a whole,
yeah.
that's its
keep
own
keep yourself
thing.
Clean too.
Yeah, keep yourself clean
Don't lose
clean
yourself.
Too. Yeah, don't lose yourself in the baby.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the sequel to 8 Mile, where Eminem is just a really good dad. And it's like, that baby's not old enough to eat solid food. No wonder it threw up the spaghetti. Eminem, come on, man. But it's grandma's spaghetti. Or did she die? I don't know.
I don't know.
Someone dies in 8 Mile.
Oh, I can't remember.
Maybe they don't.
No, I don't think anyone. I don't think people die in 8 Mile.
You know what? I'm
just hope.
I can't.
Only hope dies in 8 Mile.
You know what I was thinking of, and I can't. It's so terrible to say.
Say it.
I was confusing it with the fact that Brittany Murphy tragically died in real life, like for real.
And I laughed because I'm the worst person.
I was like, wait, does she die? And then I was like, no, not in the movie.
No, in real life.
Yeah, which is like, dead. I don't. Mean to bring any anguish to Brittany Murphy's friends and loved ones by bringing that up, but that was just why I thought that.
I think it's fair. It wasn't cruel. It wasn't cruel. Don't worry.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Was, yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you made a joke about her.
No,
dead.
I didn't
yeah.
mean to.
I actually feel like I kind of had the same thing when you were saying that. I'm like, yeah. Wait, did people die? It was just Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
IRL.
It was just Brittany Murphy. I mean,
right.
just Brittany Murphy. It was
for Brittany
the
Murphy.
Luminous... And tragically too young, Brittany.
Yes, Murphy. Yes, yes to all of that. All right, let's save this. Let's save the day with Tanya's cleaning resolution.
Tanya says, carpet cleaning, dusting, and cleaning with essential oils.
Yes, love it. Love, love, love. Okay, so for the carpet cleaning is a really good thing to do because it's very satisfying. And because then you have wash water that you can tweet at me. And everybody loves to share their dirty wash water with me. Mm-hmm. So, Tanya, go out and rent a rug doctor. I actually was just at my grocery store. So I go to, like, a pretty tiny grocery store because I live in Lower Manhattan. And they even have the rug doctors for rent there. And they're not, you know, they're not the huge, huge stand-up machines, the one that you rent. But they're bigger than the little portable ones that you buy. So they're somewhere in between. The rentals, you guys, just so you know, they're $30. It's not a huge expense at all. So you can rent those at most grocery stores, hardware stores, home improvement stores like Home Depot.
Awesome.
Easy.
I don't mean to derail us again, but the idea
derail away.
The idea of loving dirty water is also very Bostonian.
It really is. I never thought about it in those terms.
It's very New England. I mean, they're not.
And I mean, that song is
yes.
like so, it's so like part of my heart and. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to like get tossed into the Charles before they cleaned it up, right?
Get tossed into by whom?
Mm-hmm, because I was.
Were you? Are you the departed?
Yeah. No, I was on the crew team.
Oh, sure.
In middle school and high school, and when I originally started rowing, I went to a high school that was in Cambridge, and so our boathouse was on the Charles. Mm-hmm. And then when I went away for school, we would compete against my old school. And so we oftentimes still had
right.
meets on the Charles. And the tradition with crew is that the winning I was a coxswain, obviously, mm-hmm. tiny and big mouthed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was a coxswain. And the tradition in crew is that the winning boat tosses their coxswain into the water.
Okay.
And usually that's fine if a little cold in New England. In the spring. But the Charles, like during the time that I first started rowing, it was cleaned up by the time I finished high school. But it was still super sludgy and toxic when I started in the late 80s.
Do you remember the...
So I'm like a I'm like a toxic waste site, basically.
No, not anymore. Do you remember there was like in the 90s, Massachusetts governor and then later vice presidential candidate on the Libertarian ticket, Bill Weld, jumped into the Charles after some cleanup effort. Mm-hmm. And people were like, would you look at that asshole? What's he doing that for? Esther, turn on the television. This asshole's jumping in the water. And but like it was like, hey, look at how clean the water is now. And then everyone was like, no, that's still ridiculous. Yeah, don't do that.
I 110% do remember when that happened. And also Bill Weld spoke at my high school, I think 2 years before I graduated. And he like did this whole spiel. So he didn't go to my high school. His niece was graduating from my high school. And he had gone to one of our rival schools, and but so he's like a boarding school. He was, you know, just he understands the culture. His whole speech was basically about the Grateful Dead.
Wow,
I love Bill Weld.
That's
wild. I'm all in on Bill Weld.
Ted Leo has a song about him on his new album, I think. I mean, that's real. I'm not kidding.
I 100% believe you. I mean,
it does sound like a thing I would make up.
I feel like Bill Weld like should inspire a song.
he clearly I actually hadn't thought of him in years, and then when he was running with Gary Johnson, like just watching him clean up the messes that Gary Johnson made by being like, I don't know, taxes, who cares?
Yeah.
And he was like, he doesn't mean that. And I was like, oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. I remember him.
From the river.
Yeah. From the Charles.
From the Charles. Esther, in the river. He's in the Charles. You got to record this. Turn on the VCR.
All right, you guys. So we have another pep talk request that we're going to go into. Since Josh is spirited now, he's like worked himself up.
I'm in a lather.
He's in a total lather, which seems
Esther,
thematically appropriate for this particular show.
Esther, bring me my paper bag. I need to breathe into it. I'm in a lather. The good bag, Esther. We have company.
All right, let's do this call.
Hey, Josh, this is Catherine Heller. We've met. I need a pep talk. I've had pneumonia for 3 weeks, and even though my voice sounds amazing, I am just so tired and sick of being sick. There it is. And I know I'm grateful for my health, and I at least caught it and got it treated, and I have health insurance, but I've just been really down. So, yeah, pep talk would be awesome. Thank you. You're the best. Bye.
Hi, Catherine. I know we've met. We're friends.
We're friends. I love that. I didn't realize you were actually friends.
Yeah, no, we know each other. It was not like a we've met in passing. It's like we know each other sincerely. It's very funny.
That's so great.
Catherine's great. Catherine, it's going to get better. Like you'll feel better. And when you're sick, it's like hard to remember that you've ever been healthy or like what healthy would even constitute or that it's possible for your sick body. But you're going to get there. It'll happen. And like you don't have to feel guilty for feeling bad that you're sick because you have health insurance. Like it's good to be grateful for those things, but at the same time it's like that's not a magic elixir that means your body feels good at all times. So like I get your gratitude and your appreciation for your situation of relative privilege to many in our country, but like it's okay to feel bad that you feel bad. And know that it's not forever, and it's gonna feel so good when you're like the first day you're not like coughing or whatever the sickness from Little Women that you have does to your lungs.
The consumption.
I think that's tuberculosis, right?
I think so. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so.
Consumption also sounds like a very polite way to say like eaten by a lion. He has consumption. Oh. Is he going to recover? I don't think so, man. That lion got most of him. He's just a leg now.
All All right, you guys. On that note, I'm about to choke to death on my own laughter, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Josh and I will be right back with more of your New Year's cleaning resolutions and a few more pep talks, I'm sure. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Josh Gondelman. We've been talking about your New Year's cleaning resolutions and Boston, basically.
Yeah.
The Charles River.
I don't know, a lot about the Charles River, more than I normally talk about it.
I feel like I actually talk quite a lot about the Charles just because I grew up on the Charles.
Yeah, and crewing.
Yes, rowing.
Rowing.
Yeah, is what we call it.
Okay. Potato, potato. Actually, mine was more like potato tuber. Kind of like rough synonyms. But honestly, the one I said like wasn't really a word. I mean, less of a word than yours.
Maybe. I feel like there probably is the use of the term crewing. Like, yeah. I feel like maybe the Brits use that more than the Americans do.
Yeah.
Anyway, wonderful sport.
Wonderful sport.
Some of the happiest memories of school for me were about around crew. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really loved it. It was the only sport I actually participated in. Mm-hmm. And I participated by shouting at people.
Yeah.
Just shouting orders.
There should be more sports where that's a position.
It was a great position.
Because normally it's like you get a coach to do that. But for crew, they're just like, get another kid and have them yell at the other kids. It's like when you babysit a kid that's like 2 years younger than you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Well, the thing is that you also, you steer the boat.
Oh, okay.
So when you see, and this is like a very common thing, but it's also terrible because those boats are crazy, crazy, crazy expensive. When you see a boat smash into a bridge, that's the coxswain's fault. Yeah.
Nice.
I never did that.
You never smashed a boat into a bridge?
I never did that. I did, however, once accidentally cut off a Harvard 8 on the Charles, mm-hmm. and that was not good. They yelled
a lot
at me. Yeah, they were not nice about
it. You Goodwill hunting them. You're like, how do you like them boats?
It was not good. But, I mean, listen, every coxswain has one of those stories, right? Mm-hmm. I never destroyed a boat, so I did fine.
Well, there's still time. We're making New Year's resolutions.
That's right. Yeah, take up crewing again. Or,
look, you don't have to be a coxswain to destroy a boat.
You know what? I do want to take up again that I used to do when I was even of a like younger age, and then again in college was.
I have no idea.
You're going to be horrified when you hear this because like no one should arm me with any kind of weapon ever.
Okay,
I'm murderous in my heart. Mm-hmm. As we discovered Windexter.
I loved it.
Windexter was really good. You guys, Windexter was the name that Josh came up with for the movie he's going to write based on me, where I'm a serial killer.
But a very tidy one.
Yes, a very tidy one. I was big into archery. I took archery in college.
Wow.
Yeah. And I want to take up archery again. And there are ranges here in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm like all in. I want to go get my bow and arrow back on.
That seems very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. You want to go arching with me?
Sure.
Okay, let's go arching. Would Maris want to come?
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like Maris could get into that.
I bet she would.
I bet she'd be really good.
Probably.
Like, terrifyingly good aim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
She's very precise.
Let's make a date. We'll do that. It'll be really fun. All right. Before we get into the rest of your New Year's cleaning resolutions, I want to talk to you guys about a basic cleaning schedule, because that was sort of one that came up over and over and over again So I want to give you some general tips, and then I want to give you some really, really specific stuff. And patrons, I am going to take the specific stuff and I'm going to type it into a post for you guys so you can always go back and reference it. So if you guys out there listening who haven't signed up on Patreon yet but have been thinking about doing so and you might like access to this list, this would be a good time to go support my show, patreon.com/askacleanperson. Okay, so here, before you come up with what your cleaning schedule is going to look like, there are basically three things I want you to do. You don't have to, but I think it's going to set you up for success if you do these things. The first is, this all sounds very facile, but worth saying. Identify your main rooms.
Siobhan, is going to be harder for you than for most people.
Well, I mean, for Siobhan, actually, she's a perfect example of someone who really would want to do this. She wanted to basically identify, like, what are the 2, 3, 4 rooms that you use the most, right? And I'm going to tell you what they are because they're going to be basically the same for everybody. But there's room for, you know, differences in our home and how we live and all that kind of stuff too.
The wine cellar.
I grew up in a house with a wine cellar, so wow. I can't like judge that.
I can.
You're going to judge. Actually, my parents almost still have a wine cellar in the house in Charlestown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Big basements in those brown, because like, I grew up in brownstones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up in brownstones.
Yeah, I mean, well, it wasn't lack of basement that made my parents not have a wine
cellar. Lack of wine?
Yeah, that was that we didn't have wines that were cellar worthy.
Okay, so you're going to identify like your main rooms that you're using. And then you're going to jot down, and you can do this like on the notes on your phone, you can make a Google Doc, you can write a list that you can stick to the fridge, like whatever. Put it on a whiteboard, like whatever makes sense for you and the way that you work. Actually, the last time Josh was here, we discovered that he and I both use paper planners.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I want to say that sometimes that just works better for me than using a digital calendar, and for Josh, obviously, too. And so just, like, don't put pressure on yourself to do something in the quote-unquote right or most efficient way. Do it in the way that makes sense for you and that feels right for you. So jot down the basic tasks you need to do to maintain. And by basic, I don't mean like don't go all in with the 60-point spring cleaning checklist for this. Keep it simple, stupid is what you want to do. Just the basic stuff that has to get done for the room to be clean and presentable.
Laser etch the crystal.
Well, I mean, that's a basic.
Yeah, that's... Duh, day one.
And then the last thing is to calendar it. I really, really believe in the power of calendaring your cleaning stuff, whether that's a paper calendar or a digital calendar that's spitting out reminders, whatever works best for you, that is just going to help you remember to do it. And then it will become rote, and you won't need the calendar at all. All right, so I've identified basically what, for most people, are the 4 rooms that get used the most. And for each room, I've got 2 things that you should try to do every day and 2 things that you should try to do every week. Totally manageable. This is easy. So here's what they are. And there's one that's really weird and funny. I'm going to tell you a little childhood story about me that I think you'll be tickled by.
I'm sure you will.
So let's start in the bedroom. We all have a bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah. One hopes. I mean, some of us might like live in a yurt. Mm-hmm.
Then it's all
bedroom. It's all bedroom, I guess.
It's all bedroom, yeah. Baby. That's how I would describe a studio apartment.
Yeah, it's basically my home.
It's I like that because you can walk in and you can just gesture to the whole thing and say, this is where the magic happens. It's a whole magical living space.
That's right. I like that. Okay, so here are your 2 things that if you do these every day, you are going to be in great shape in terms of keeping things clean. So the first is, no surprise, make your bed. The second thing is either put your clothes away or in the hamper. And I will include folding your clothes and putting them on the clothes chair as putting them away. I also want to mention, I talked about this before on the show, but it's a really, really good life hack. It's not quite as good as leaving the stain spray behind my hamper. Mm-hmm. That's my best one.
It is, don't deep fry a chicken in your bedroom. We did that one already.
No, I think I actually want people to be doing that because, like, that's a great question for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I hope I inspire one person to deep fry, like, a Snickers bar or an Oreo in their bedroom.
Just bring the fry daddy, like, right into bed with you.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
sitting in front of the TV, just, like, fresh deep fried Snickers.
Oh, that seems so hazardous.
I'm terrified to see it. Don't do that.
Yeah,
don't
do that.
Don't. That's,
but put
we're
it
joking.
On, like, a, put it on a tarp or something.
Put it on a...
Like a sensual bedroom tarp.
Please put it on a hard, flat surface.
Yeah.
Don't tip it over. Don't. Let's not get oil, third-degree oil burns in our bed space. That's
no
not
way.
Sexy.
Wow, first of all, don't deep fry shame me.
Okay, here's my tip. Hooks are very great in a bedroom. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, a lot of people like things that you're going to rewear that you don't want to put away but that don't go in the dirty hamper. It's like either, like, you put them on your clothes chair or, like, people, I know people are throwing them on the floor, and I want you to stop that. It makes me anxious. But hooks are great for that. So I've got one that's, like, to the side of my dresser where I'll hang, like, a pair of pajamas I'm going to rewear, or, like, if I have a day at the gym where I'm not doing a lot of cardio and I'm doing a lot of lifting, I'm going to rewear those gym clothes because I didn't get super sweaty. And so I'll just, like, hang the gym clothes there. So don't sleep on a hook in the bedroom for clothes.
Oh, I thought you were literally, I thought that was, I was like, yeah,
I mean, also,
I think everyone knows not to sleep on the hooks.
I listen, you don't know what people are into.
That's true. We just had to tell people not to bring a deep fryer into bed. These listeners will sleep on anything.
Alrighty. So then in the bedroom, your two weekly tasks, very easy. Change the bed linens. Now, you don't have to do this every week. I'm me, and so I change my bed linens every week. But every week, every other week is perfectly fine. And then tidy and dust. So just taking 10 minutes. You can get a lot more done in 10 minutes than you think. Taking 10 minutes to just, like, put away the things that you've, you know, stashed on top of your dresser, on top of your bedside table, putting them back in their place. Once you've put things back and surfaces are clear, just running a dusting cloth over them, super easy. So that's not super hard. All right, the next one. Here's the part where you're going to be tickled.
Yeah.
By what I wrote in my notes. Again, this was 4:30 in the morning, you guys, so I hadn't had coffee or anything like that, and it was 4:30 in the morning. In the den room. The what now?
The den room.
So when I was a little girl, I still use this term all the time, even though it's not a real term. When I was a little girl, like little girl, I used to refer to the living room, the den, or the living room as the den room.
Sure.
And it wasn't until I was, like, middle school age that I realized that there's no such thing as the den room.
Yeah, that's not anything.
The reason that I called it the den room was because there was a bedroom, a living room, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it made sense to me that the den was the den room.
Yep.
Yeah. So the den room.
Like you would say kitchen room.
Exactly. Den room.
Right.
So I still use it. It still sounds right to me.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I'll tell the story on the show and then maybe we'll make den room happen. Asta, I'm in the den room.
Where are you, Marty? His name's Marty.
Oh, he has a name now.
Now he does. He wasn't Marty before, but now he's Marty.
Marty seems right, actually.
Yeah. It's really good. Marty is a great name to yell.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a good Boston one because it's got an AR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alrighty, so in the den room, this is so easy. This is easy. Mm-hmm. But this is actually also pretty important.
Okay.
At the end of the day, mm-hmm. bus your dirty dishes and glasses into the kitchen. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say, at the end of the day, family is the most important thing.
No. At the end of the day, archery is the most important.
Yeah, that's true.
And then straighten the cushions and the throw blankets. So, like, instead of just, like, popping off the couch and rolling into bed and leaving, you know, the dirty plate that you had your cookies on and half a glass of milk and the, you know, throw blanket you were curled up under, just, like, sprawled over, just move the dishes into the kitchen. You don't even have to wash them. You just leave them in there. Mm-hmm. And just straighten the cushions and fold up the blanket and put it back in its place. Just very easy things to do. Weekly, again, super easy. Vacuum or sweep, depending on what kind of flooring you have. And just like in the bedroom, do a quick, you know, 5-10 minute tidy and dusting kind of thing. Put things back in their place, dust surfaces, easy. Kitchen's probably the big, kitchen and bathroom are the two where you're actually going to be doing cleaning.
It's where things get dirtiest.
But that's where things get the dirtiest, because of what you're doing in there during the week.
Eating.
For both. Yeah. Okay, so in the kitchen, your two daily chores, do the dishes. Yeah.
That was the trap. I knew that trap was coming.
Yeah.
Where you were like, look, you don't have to do the dishes. Just bring them into the kitchen. And they're like, kitchen, do the dishes.
Do the dishes.
Yeah, that was a trap. And well, I mean, I felt it coming.
Here's the thing. I feel like at the end of the night, if you stick a plate and a glass in the sink and go to bed, you can do that in the morning. I mean, I often do that. Also, like, during the night, I usually have, like, a glass of water mm-hmm. next to me. And so in the morning, I'm going to be doing a dish or two anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would say don't leave a big stack of dishes,
yeah.
but leaving a glass or a plate or, you know, whatever in there is fine.
Mm-hmm. Deep fryer.
The fry daddies in there. And then wipe down your work surfaces. So, you know, obviously you don't need to be doing this if you don't cook a lot. That's not going to matter. But if you've cooked dinner, just, you know, grab your all-purpose cleaner and a sponge or a paper towel and just quickly wipe off the surfaces that you've used. Here's another hack for you. I have a bottle of all-purpose cleaner. It's Mrs. Meyer, so it, like, looks nice. Mm-hmm. And I just leave it right next to my dish soap. So it's just right there to mm-hmm. grab. Super easy. Okay. Weekly. You guys are actually going to really like one of these. Josh, you're going to like this. This is another Jolie hack.
I love it.
And you know who loves this one and actually does it is Maureen O'Connor.
Oh.
So Maureen is a fascinating student of mine in that she reads and listens to everything and she internalizes literally all of the information. She's like a Jolie Care encyclopedia, but she never uses any of it except for this one thing, and it's amazing. Okay, so the first thing, which is, you know, this is a very obvious one, much like the daily cleaning, you're going to wipe the surfaces down. But in this case, when you're doing your weekly cleaning, you want to hit the countertops, the stovetop, the sink, the exterior of the fridge if it's gotten spotty, and your tabletop. If you have a kitchen table, you want to wipe that off. In terms of the fridge, it actually is important to wipe the exterior of the fridge fairly frequently because you are touching it all the time with, like, your chickeny, salmonella-y hands. Mm-hmm. So that is one that you don't want to skip over for like, health and safety reasons. Then here's the other one, and it does have to do with the fridge. So most of us take our trash out about once a week. It's a little different for everybody, and people have different sort of trash protocol. So allow some flexibility for this with this tip. But when it is time to take out the trash, before you tie up the bag, open the refrigerator and do a spot check for old or spoiled food.
Ooh, that's real good.
That way you never end up with the Zool-type mm-hmm. creatures growing and living and thriving in your fridge.
That's beautiful.
And so that is a very easy one. And then also when you're doing the trash, go just take a quick like jaunt into all the other rooms where you have trash cans. Mm-hmm. Definitely the bathroom will have one. Probably like your bedroom has a little like, you know, waste paper basket, and dump those out and just take the trash out. So there's your trash management.
Great.
Easy. Last room is the bathroom. Save the best for last, mm-hmm. Where we're doing our eating.
Doing your eating, doing your crying, doing your...
I often cry in the bathroom, actually.
Oh, it's a good place to
cry. Oh, it's a great place to cry. Mm-hmm. Bathtub while I'm putting my makeup on.
Oh, yeah.
Just look in the mirror. I hate you. I hate you. Mm-hmm. Put that mask on. Hide your heinousness from the world.
I've done some shower cries in my day. it's just
more shower. It feels so good, right? It's just
bonus shower.
It's like you're your own personal shower.
And then you're showering off the other shower. It's very
great.
Yeah, it's very cathartic.
Very satisfying.
And very very clean. Very
yes,
hygienic.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So so here are your daily chores. Easy. Hang your wet towels. Don't throw your towels on the floor.
Ooh, that one I'm already doing. No, I'm hanging.
Oh, you are? Oh, I thought you meant. I was like, why do you hurt me?
No.
Hang your wet towels and wipe the sink area down. I know it sounds kind of crazy to think about doing it every day, but the sink really bears the brunt of so much. Like your toothpaste spittles, and if you're a woman, your mane, and you wear it, your makeup, and if you're a man and you shave, your beard stubbles and all that stuff. Just wiping off the sink area and the bowl of the sink with, you know, a paper towel or a microfiber cloth or anything like that, microfiber sponge, just makes such a difference in the appearance of your bathroom. And it makes it so much more pleasant to, like, not be faced with toothpaste spittle. Mm-hmm. Then for your weekly, I mean, look, your weekly is, like, so easy and obvious. It's cleaning and it's work and you're going to have to do it. But, like, clean the toilet, clean the tub, clean the sink, you know, hit the mirrors with glass cleaner, and sweep or mop the floors. Mm-hmm. Easy. So there are your basic cleaning schedule type things.
I'm going to quit my job and do all of this.
Okay, great. I like that plan. I like that. Maris will be very happy.
I think she would support me.
I think she would. She's
a loving partner.
Yes, she is. So as a reminder, I'm gonna type all that stuff up and I'm going to put it on Patreon for my beloved patrons. That's patreon.com/askacleanperson. Alrighty, we've got four more resolutions that I'm going to help you guys out with. And then we've got one more pep talk request. So here's Mia Pia. I love
that name.
Mia Pia.
How to finally get the mold stains off the rubber molding around the base of my shower, if that's even possible.
It's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
From Kevin Garnett. That's like, I look up the gif of him. I mean, you can't hear him, obviously, because it's a gif. But I look up him yelling that after winning the NBA championship, like, several times a year. It just, like, makes me feel
it
so
It makes me
good.
Feel good. Yeah. Makes me feel happy.
Yeah, it makes me feel like anything is possible.
I have certain gifts that I keep on my bookmarks bar for just, like, when I need, like, a little pick-me-up. Yeah. Like, one of them is the Vanderpump Rules, James Kennedy going, more cosmopolitan, pumptini.
Oh, that's good.
Like, pumptini just makes me feel like, yeah, I can do anything in the world. Pumptini!
Yeah.
Okay, so Mia Pia, I think we can solve this. Two things to try. Give that moldy caulk.
Yep.
Sure. Just prepare yourself for what's going to come here, because I never met a cock joke I didn't love.
Yeah, sure.
Give that moldy cock.
People talk.
I don't love a moldy cock.
But. No, disgusting. People talk down about dick jokes, but they're very funny.
Dick jokes are amazing.
They're very funny.
The greatest contribution that men make to the world is that they keep us in dick jokes.
Yeah, I think it's the...
We can't eliminate men, because then we wouldn't have dick jokes.
I mean,
we found a use for them.
You would need some kind of like cave paintings that you would remember the dicks from long ago.
That's a good idea. Okay, let's get, like, back on the eliminating
Michelangelo's entry. David would remind you. Like, oh yeah, dicks. I remember when.
I remember those.
The faraway times.
Okay, so the first thing I would try is I would hit the moldy cock with an extremely liberal spray of X14, which X14 is one of my favorite cleaning products. It's like so super toxic. It works super, super well. I discovered recently that it is owned by the same parent company that owns WD-40, and I freaked out because I love WD-40 also.
They name things very alphanumerically. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and there's a whole bunch of other ones that all have that same kind of, like...
They sound like
X-Men characters.
X-Men movies where Samuel L. Jackson develops, like, a formula that could destroy all war.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what they sound like. And I love them. If that doesn't work, the next thing to try... Now, the one thing I want to say about X14 is that you want to open the windows and make sure you're using a well-ventilated air, because it stinks, but it works. The other thing you can try is you can get Soft Scrub, which is like a cream cleanser that has some bleach in it, and apply it to the moldy caulk. And then, depending on the placement of the caulk, if it's kind of dripping and not staying in place, tape some Saran wrap in, which will hold the cleaner in place, and just let it sit for like a few hours to nuke that mold. Now, if none of that works, because sometimes caulk just goes bad and has to be replaced. Mm-hmm. You can actually replace it pretty easily. It's not that hard to do. I actually gave instructions on how to replace moldy caulk back in episode 66, which, had episode 69 not been such a doozy of an episode, I would say it was a real missed opportunity to not do moldy caulk in 69. Yeah. But 69 was a doozy. It was Maureen.
Oh, sure.
And we had a clean person mystery, like a very sexy clean person mystery, about whether the question was whether or not semen actually clogs a shower drain. And Maureen and I like went deep into the research.
Short answer?
It does not.
Though
anecdotally, I still believe in my heart that it does. Even though the science proved to me, I mean, Josh, I had like Harvard professors who I was quoting. Wow. I went deep into the research on this.
This is fascinating.
I reported it out.
Yeah.
I reported it out.
I would expect no less.
Yeah. I will say 2017 was a good year for reporting out clean person mysteries. I also had one where I figured out how to get those sticky hands.
Yep.
Also, they all had to do with sticky hands.
Really?
Every clean person mystery.
Wow. I haven't seen
one
of those.
Do you get it?
Oh, because of semen. That semen in the shower drain.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah, I figured out how to get the sticky hand toy stains off of walls.
Wow.
Because I had to figure out what was in them, and I discovered that gelatin is in them, and therefore I knew that the way to get it off was to use pineapple. Yeah, Josh's
That's
mind is
That's an amazing
just blown.
Mystery. Mm-hmm. I need to go back to like 1994 and tell this to my parents.
I know. They're really bad.
I haven't seen those in decades.
Yeah. So anyway, so episode 66, if Mia Pia, if you end up needing to replace the caulk, go listen to that. And I gave all the instructions on how you're going to do that.
Great.
It's actually not that bad a job. All right. Rockle.
Rockle says, how do I deal with a particular funk of a tween athlete's gear without giving her a complex? Or is there anything I shouldn't wash with vinegar and or baking soda?
So I think the way to do this is twofold. I think one, you want to turn it into a teachable moment, which is a terrible term that I hate, but like it's the right one to use here. Like use it as a way to show her how to do specialty laundry. And when you're doing that, don't make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, yeah, like when we have like, you know, our sweaty gear, there's like a special way that you have to handle that. And like you'll teach her like, you know, use cold water and you either air dry or use low heat drying. You can talk to her about using vinegar for odor neutralization. You can talk to her about sports detergents. You could use Dr. Bronner's for this purpose. So that's the way I would just not make a big deal of it. Like, I think the more that you can not worry about giving her a complex, like the better off you'll be, because if you just treat it like a human problem and not a thing that's going to like make her feel ashamed. But I also want to say I love that you're sensitive to that, because those things are embarrassing for teenagers and they do feel like alone and ashamed of what's going on with their body or weirded out by all of it. And so I think being sensitive to it is great. But if you can like just act like it's no big deal, then I think that's the way to go. Now, in terms of the question about vinegar, I did talk about this, and I apologize because I should have written down the episode number. But I did talk about kind of new rules for athleisure. It was back earlier this summer.
My favorite episode of Real Time with Bill Maher.
That you are not, by the way, the first one to make that joke on this show.
Really?
Yeah, because I say new rules all the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't mean to. And then every time I'm like, damn it, I did the Bill Maher thing again. Like,
I bet if you keep doing it, it's going to be a showdown.
I would love that, actually. What would Bill Maher would come in to talk about pot smoking.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably his biggest cleaning issue.
Certainly. I bet.
Yeah.
I bet that.
Maybe I'll contact his people. Have him come in on 420.
There's nothing I'm more confident about, though, than the fact that Bill Maher now vapes. I would bet my life on it.
10,000%. 10,000%.
If you put a gun to my head and was like, does Bill Maher vape, motherfucker? Yes or no? Your life's on the line. I'd be like, yes, I'm not even nervous.
10,000%. Like, I totally agree.
You might as well have asked me my mom's name.
Amazing. So it was sometime this summer. So it would have been like one of the episodes in the 70s. And so the thing I talked about in that is that if you're using, I don't want you guys using vinegar on the regular with your athleisure or anything with stretch in it. You can use it from time to time to like triage something that's gotten a spunk in it, but I don't want you using it as your weekly laundry booster. I'd rather have you guys either using Dr. Bronner's or using a sports detergent. What will happen is that over time, the acid in the vinegar will break down stretch. So don't overuse it, to answer that question for you. All right, Lancey is up next.
Lancey says, getting out the weird underarm stains from my fave ModCloth dress, shout out to ModCloth, getting a dry cleaning schedule going, fixing my Roomba, vacuuming every week, continued decluttering.
All righty. Yeah, easy with the ModCloth dress. Just soak it. Do the long soak in OxyClean. And then a few times while it's soaking, by long soak, I mean a couple hours, a few times while it's in the soaking water, go in with a laundry brush or like, you know, a nail brush is perfect for this. An old toothbrush is fine too. And just scrub at the pits of the dress to work in the cleaning solution and kind of coax the stain out. That's going to be super easy. Dry cleaning. Put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar. And then here's another thing. Go get that Roomba fixed, because if you get the Roomba fixed, it's going to take care of your vacuuming goals for you.
Yeah.
And then I just want to say good luck with the decluttering. I just did a big decluttering this week, and it was really, really satisfying, and I needed it. And, like, I just organized my – I did a deep cleaning of the bathroom, and I reorganized my vanity, and I got rid of some old, like, you know, bottles of lotion that I wasn't using. Kind of stuff. It just made me feel good.
That does feel good.
It was good self-care.
Do you think that when Marie Kondo brings someone into her bedroom, she's like, this is where the magic happens. The life-cleaning magic of tidying up.
I don't think that Marie Kondo has enough sense of humor to do that.
I do think this is the only place in America where I can say that and people would understand.
It literally is. All right. We've got one last cleaning resolution from Amanda, and then we're going to do our last pep talk, and we're going to sign off.
Amanda, hardwoods plus thick carpet rugs plus lots of steps plus dog. Please help me find a lightweight vacuum that can handle all this wild terrain that isn't Dyson priced.
Yep. I got you, girl. Actually, I don't even gotcha. The wire cutters gotcha. I want you to go right to thewirecutter.com. I want you to pop vacuum right into the search bar. I want you to find Liam McCabe's fabulous, fabulous, fabulous review of all different kinds of vacuums. I also want you to look at the companion piece he wrote called Which Vacuum Should I Get? It's going to talk to you a lot about your specific needs, given that you have a dog and you have stairs and you have hardwood. And then go and cross-reference the guide and look at his recommendations. The one that he, the overall recommendation that I think is going to work great for you is the Shark Navigator Liftaway. It's in the $130 price range, so it's definitely not Dyson priced. One thing to mention, however, about Dyson, this is a really good deal and something you guys should all look into if you're interested in a Dyson, is that Dyson offers refurbished models that will run you in the $200 to $250 range. So if you're looking to level up from the Shark and you can throw an extra $70 or so at a refurbished Dyson, I would say get that, because they are very, very lightweight and easy to use. So you guys, thank you so much for sharing your New Year's cleaning resolutions with me. I really enjoyed them. I love the variety that we got.
Yeah, they were all over
the
place.
They were all over. I love
in a great way.
In a great way. And that's the way they should be. I love that some are really general. I love that some are very specific, like project-y type things. And
I love the straightforward mission statement of clean my goddamn walls.
I know. I figured we had to start with that one. I also imagine her like rage cleaning the walls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like take that wall.
Or like there's something like Satan lives in the walls. Just like, ouch.
Amazing.
Damned demon.
I cast these spirit out in the name of the Lord. All right. We've got one more pep talk request that we're going to do before we wrap this baby up.
Hey, I moved to Maryland like 6 months ago for a job, and I know no one and don't really know what I'm doing, and I'm going into the new year like super alone but super happy with my job, and I don't even know what to do. So a little pep talk would be great. Thanks.
Hey, that sounds really hard, and I'm glad that stuff with work is going well, but that's like some of life and not the whole thing, and I get that. So it's nice to be clicking on some cylinders. So that's really great. And like, congratulations on making a big move for your professional life. That's really hard, and it's like a cool thing to have done. But on the other hand, it's like tough to be lonely, and it's tough to not have people around to socialize with and to spend time with. Again, I don't mean to get too advicey, but like, one thing that's like, this might sound easy, but it's like, do the things you like to do. It's like okay to do things alone. I don't know if you have been. And then like, you'll meet people. Like, obviously going to the movies is not a place to meet people alone necessarily. They get very shushy. But some, you know,
go into the quiet car on Amtrak and try to make friends.
And just fucking let her rip, you know? No, but I think like, if there's a sport, there's like adult sports, or if you're into reading, find a meetup group to talk about books, or I'm sure there are lots of hobbies between sports and reading on the spectrum of physical
activity. I literally
can't think of a
single one. Cleaning.
Cleaning, video games, whatever it is. Like, whatever it is that you like to do, I'm sure there are people that like to do it too. There was like a 2-week period a few years ago where I was researching how to develop a dating app called Haven't Seen It, where you just find people that haven't seen the things that you want to see, and then you hang out and watch those things.
Oh, that's smart. It's kind of like How About We?
Yeah.
But more specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
and,
that.
There are a lot of flaws. But anyway, the idea of just like figuring out what you want to do and then finding the other people nearby that like to do it. There's so much. There's meetup groups. Mm-hmm. There's, online forums where you can meet like fans of things you like. If you like a podcast, maybe there are other podcast fans that like to do podcast related things. You're listening to this podcast. I think it would be real sad if you're like, oh, I'm not going to listen. I just like needed to put it out there in the world, but I don't want to hear your voice. But yeah, I think there's
fitness classes.
Group fitness classes. Yeah, like
if
whatever.
Out, like,
do the things you like, and then the people that are like-minded will be there too. Yeah. But again, not to be too advicey, it's 6 months feels like a long time, but it's you still have plenty of chance. It's not like it's never going to happen. It's not like you can't it takes 6 months to like get your bearings and find a routine in a new place and like figure out what grocery store is good and which one always has like weird apples. And so like it's okay that it hasn't happened yet, even though it feels hard, and it will happen if you once your life, now that your life is like more stabilized.
Love that. Thanks, Josh.
Sure thing.
All right, you guys. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you are feeling excited about a new year and feeling like you have some good goals that you're ready to tackle, and that you feel like Josh and I gave you some encouragement and advice along the way. We're always here for you. Also, if you like the call-in kind of stuff, let me know. I'm thinking about toying with having people call in with their actual cleaning questions too. So I'd love to hear some feedback from you guys on how you like that. And on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I also remind you guys that I'm doing a live show here in New York, episode 101, on January 11th. For the tickets, you want to go to askacleanpersonpodcastlive.splashthat.com. That's askacleanpersonpodcastlive.splashthat.com. Tickets are $10. We're going to have some mocktails, some booze, a lot of fun. My friend Molly McAleer is coming in to co-host with me. I'm really, really, really excited, and I hope a lot of you guys are going to be there. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode and another year of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.